Well, the title of the message is, Why a Feast of Trumpets? Think about that for a minute. Why a Feast of Trumpets? Oh yes, we could tell you what the Feast of Trumpets means in God's plan of salvation, but what about the Old Covenant? If someone came up to you and said, why did Israel celebrate the Feast of Trumpets or the Day of Trumpets, would you be able to explain it to them? Because I couldn't for many years. I didn't know why. But I think today I'll show you why they kept the Feast of Trumpets and what did they do when they had the Holy Convocation. If you turn to Numbers 29, verse 1, Numbers 29, even the Jews are perplexed. What is this Feast of Trumpets? What are we supposed to do? And they look at it as a day of repentance, getting ready for the Day of Atonement when they're going to have to be judged. Numbers 29, verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. Well, does that tell us anything? Does that give you any? Well, it's a holy convocation. Okay, they get together for services, if you will. You're not to work, so it's a Sabbath. But all it says is a day of blowing the trumpets. So did they go there and just people were blowing trumpets? Why? Well, if you go to Leviticus 23, verse 24, Leviticus 23, where it mentions the Feast of Trumpets. There's not a lot in here about it. Leviticus 23, verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Well, what new information do we get in here? Come on. What new information? Take a look at it. What's new? Well, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial. What does that mean, memorial? It means something that we observe every year in memory of. We could think of 9/11, and every year we have a memorial, and we just had a memorial a few days ago where we remember that infamous event. And so there's a memorial of a blowing of trumpets. Well, what does that mean? That's the key. That's the key to understanding it, a memorial. So they're going to remember the blowing of trumpets. But why? And when? Well, God had used trumpets to interact and intervene in the lives of the nation of Israel, as we're going to see. This day was to be a reminder of what God had done to bless, lead, and preserve his people, and for God to be praised and glorified. So we're going to take a look at some events from the Old Covenant that on the Day of Trumpets, when the people got together, they would remember these events and they praise God and glorify God for what, and it was a reminder what God had done to bless them. If you turn to Exodus 19 and verse 12, please. Exodus 19 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Verse 16. So basically, God is telling them to sanctify themselves because he's going to speak to them from the mountain. And he's going to tell them, he's going to recite the Ten Commandments to them. And it came to pass, verse 16, on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled when they heard that trumpet. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Can you picture that? getting louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. What a miraculous event. And so I'm sure during the Feast of Trumpets, this was one of the events that was read to them as a reminder, as a memorial of this great event that had occurred from God speaking to ancient Israel. If you go to Exodus 20 and verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And then they said unto Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. So that drove the fear of God into them. And they said, look, let God speak to you, and you speak to us, because we can't take this after we take this again. They were very fearful. If you go to Numbers 10, verse 1. Numbers 10. Another event of the blowing of trumpets. Numbers 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make you two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall you make them, that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So now God's going to have them construct two trumpets, and it's going to be for specific purposes. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to you at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So there were going to be different signals on the trumpets that meant different things. And so when both trumpets sounded, the people were to go and assemble themselves. That was the signal. Verse 4. And if they blow but with one trumpet, so if there's only one trumpet blowing, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. That was the signal, only the princes are to come. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So here's another event that Israel would be reminded of, how God used the trumpets to gather them together in formation as they were leaving the camps, and also to blow an alarm if let's say they were being attacked perhaps, or there was some danger. And so that was another way that the trumpets were used. If you go to, Numbers 10 and verse 9, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. So when they go to war, if they don't blow an alarm with the trumpets, you know, God might not favor them. And because it says, and you should be remembered when you blow that trumpet before the Lord your God, and you should be saved from your enemies. So that was important for them to do that when they were going to war. If you go to Joshua 6, Joshua 6 and verse 4, and of course, this is the famous event when Joshua and the Israelites were going to take the city, and after coming out of the promised lands, the city of Jericho. And verse 4, and so God told them to march around the city. The city was fortified. They were just waiting for the attack. And God told the Israelites, seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So the first 6 days they were just going to walk around Jericho. As it says, verse 3, you shall compass the city, all you men of war, so Israel men of war, and go around about the city once. And they did it for 6 days. But on the seventh day, seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumps of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city, go around seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city of Jericho. And archaeologists have verified this. They think they found the city of Jericho, and the walls were, from their investigations, it seems like the walls had collapsed. You could Google that and take a look at it. So we see this was a great event, taking the city of Jericho in a miraculous way that involved the blowing of trumpets. If you go to Judges 7, Judges 7 to verse 16. So Gideon was chosen to fight the Midianites by God, and God felt that he had too many men. He had thousands of men, and so God developed a means to wither down the men to 300. One of the things he says was, well, if anybody is fearful, go home. I would have been in that group. If you just got married, go home, you know. And then he withered it down even more by, if the men lapped the water, or the way that they cupped the water or took water, he eliminated more men. And he ended up with 300. And so, because God was going to show them that it's God that gives them the victory. So Judges 7 and verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So they got a trumpet in one hand, they got these pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, lamps that are burning. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow your trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that were in their hands. So they broke the pitchers, made a lot of noise, and then it was burning from the lamps, and they blew the trumpets. And the three companies blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand, or they held the lamps, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow, and they cried, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts, so the Midianites, they panicked. God caused a panic, and they ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. So the Midianites were fighting against each other, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to these other places. So Gideon had a great victory over the Midianites. Certainly that would have been talked about annually during the time of the Feast of Trumpets as a memorial. 1 Kings 1 and verse 33. 1 Kings 1. What else was trumpets used for? 1 Kings 1 and verse 33. Well, it was used for the crowning of kings. The crowning of kings. Whenever a king was crowned, they would sound the trumpet. So the Israelites would have been familiar with this. And this is the crowning of Solomon. Absalom is organizing a rebellion against David, and David finds out about it, and so he decides he's going to anoint Solomon as king before this rebellion, before Absalom is declared king. And verse 33, the king also said unto them, this is David, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there, king over Israel, and blow you with the trumpet, and say, God save Solomon. In verse 39, and Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle, and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. So that would be another example that the Israelites would be familiar with, the blowing of trumpets to anoint, to crown kings. Go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. You didn't realize trumpets was used so much throughout the Bible. I didn't. I mean, we read these stories and we don't think about the trumpets anymore after that, but the trumpets are important. Ezekiel 33 and verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and send him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. So these watchmen of Israel were supposed to sound the alarm, sound the trumpet when there was danger of an attack. Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. In other words, it won't be the fault of the watchman. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and he blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So again, the watchmen were to blow the trumpet to warn the people when there was danger. If you go back to Numbers 10, verse 10, Numbers 10. Numbers 10 is a great review of the blowing of trumpets why it was used. Numbers 10, and she read most of it, but let's go back. There's another verse. Numbers 10 and verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets. So every month, at the beginning of the month, they were to blow the trumpets. And on the solemn days, meaning the feast days, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings. So during these feast days, there were burnt offerings made, and they were to blow the trumpets over the burnt offerings. And over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, they would blow the trumpets, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God, I am the Lord your God. So again, during the feast days and during the beginning of the months, when sacrifices were made, the trumpet would be blown. They shall blow the trumpets, more than one. So certainly Israel would have been very aware of that. And finally, Leviticus 25 and verse 8. Leviticus 25. I'm going to have mercy on you today and make this a short message. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. And this has to do with the Jubilee. What was the Jubilee? Well, every 50 years, God declared that if you were an Israelite and you had lost your home or you were in debt, that your debt would be forgiven and you could return to your ancestral home every 50 years. And that was called the Jubilee. And Leviticus 25, verse 8, and you should number seven Sabbaths. So how did they do that? Well, they would count. They would count the years. And you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto you, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So the 50th year, they had to wait to the Day of Atonement, the Day of Fasting, the day that Satan is put away and we become at one with God. As we become one with God, and we're going to inherit the kingdom, here, this is the time when they would blow the trumpet. In the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land. Of course, when Satan is put away, that's a proclamation of liberty in the land. Now we're free. We're free from Satan and his deception, and we're at one with God, and we're free. We're free from sin. Well, not quite free from sin. We're still going to have to be taught. But you shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man into his possession. So everybody who had land would get their land back in the Jubilee. They would own it again. And you shall return every man into his family. So everybody that was an indentured servant or was working off debt would be returned to his family, and his debt would be forgiven. And that would be on the Day of Trumpets, a Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. And so, as it says in verse 9, then shall you cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. So there's a trumpet of the Jubilee every 50 years. So we see in ancient Israel that basically the Day of Trumpets was a day of memorial. They would meet and they would be taught by the priests, and they would be reminded of all the great things God had done to them that were associated with a trumpet. But the meaning today, of course, let's just talk a little bit about the meaning today. Of course, we know that the Holy Days represents God's plan of salvation. And so we know that trumpet signifies the future return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of God and a millennium on the earth. Now, does that mean Christ is going to return on the Day of Trumpets? That's probably a good bet, but I wouldn't count on it, because remember, God says no one knows the day or the time. But you would think it would be an appropriate time for Christ to return. And let's just review a few scriptures. And I know 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 was read like 3 or 4 times. It's on the bulletin. But it's very good to read again and again God's word and review it. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. Paul writes, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And that means dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know, some people use this to say this is the rapture. They use this as a rapture scripture. First of all, there's no rapture. Christ is only coming once. And, you know, the rapture is supposed to be like a quiet event, right? The people's just rises to the air, their clothes are left, you know, they just quietly disappear. But it says here, he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Everybody's going to know, as it says in Revelation, you're going to see him coming in the clouds. I mean, you know, with the internet and Wi-Fi, everybody's going to see this. This is not a rapture. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all your loved ones who are in Christ are going to rise first in that first resurrection. And that'll be a sight. It says the angels, the four angels will gather. And then after that, the four angels will gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now some use that scripture to say, well, we're going to be with the Lord in the air. Obviously, we're going to be in heaven. But no, if you read the Bible and different books, such as Daniel and Revelation, we're going up into the air, and we've got a spirit, and then we're going somewhere. We're going to the Mount of Olives, where Christ is going to destroy the beast power. I don't think we're going to be fighting. I think we'll just be watching. He's going there with the angels and himself, and he's going to destroy the beast power and establish the kingdom of God. But we're going to be there. We're going to be there with him. And then Christ is going to establish his headquarters at Jerusalem, and we are going to help Christ rule as kings and priests. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Go to Revelation 8 and verse 6, please. Revelation 8 and verse 6. So we have seven seals, as your bulletin shows you in the diagram. We have seven seals, and then we have seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. These are the seven trumpet plagues. So before each plague, which is the wrath of God, a trumpet is sounded. And then we come to the seventh trumpet. And during the seventh trumpet, we're going to have... This is when we have the seven trumpet plagues during the seventh seal. The seventh seal. We have the seventh seal. Then we have the seven trumpet plagues. And before each of these plagues, a trumpet is blown. And then we're going to have the seven bowl plagues. And then finally, Christ returns. So these plagues are God's wrath. And no, we're not going to be raptured, but God is going to protect us. First of all, some of us are going to go into the wilderness to a place of safety. Others are going to have a seal. We're going to have a seal on us. We're going to be protected. Remember the Psalm says, 1,000 will fall on your side, 10,000. So there's going to be protection for God's people. God's wrath is not going to hurt us. But before that, of course, the persecution by the beast power, there's going to be many martyrs. But once we come to the trumpet plagues here, God's going to protect his people. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, the second angel sounded, and it's all these plagues come. So these trumpets, again, are a warning and a prelude to the plagues. If you go to Revelation 11 and verse 15, Revelation 11 verse 15, Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the trumpet of the seventh angel signals the return of Christ. The return of Christ. And Matthew 24 and verse 29, Matthew 24, Matthew 24, verse 29, Christ says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now why would they mourn? Wouldn't they be happy? No. Because they were rebelling against God. Many of them had the mark of the beast. They don't want to be ruled by God. So they're mourning that Christ is returning. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So we see the Feast of Trumpets has great significance. Even in the Old Covenant, it was a memorial of God's greatness, of God's wonders of God's power, of all the things that he had done for Israel. And the Feast of Trumpets represents, in the New Covenant, it represents the return of Jesus Christ in power and glory to put an end to this evil world.